How's your eyesight? Back in August, I had a weekend away in Norwich with my three brothers and their wives. And while we were there, we had a number of times where we ate together. And one of them, we went into a restaurant. And the lighting was a bit dim, and they handed us out the menus. And I noticed that one by one, my brothers took out their glasses, put their glasses on to read the menus. I didn't have to do that because I can see at the moment. But then I reflected that actually that was true at a different level as well, because none of my brothers are followers of Jesus, and none have had their eyes open to see and behold the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart of our passage that we have this morning from Luke chapter 2 are these words, "For my eyes have seen." My eyes have seen. They're the words of Simeon. And we're going to look at what Simeon saw, and we're going to look at why it's important to us. So if you've got your glasses on, and if you've got the text open, let's first of all get up to date with what's going on. What we've been reading, if you've been following Luke, is the angels have appeared to the shepherds. The shepherds have gone down to Bethlehem to see the baby, and now they've gone back to their sheep praising God. And verse 21 says, on the eighth day. Now, we know what on the eighth day means. That's when you have to have a COVID test if you've come back into the country. On the eighth day then, it was a time for purification. And Jesus was taken to the temple and the purification happened, and he was given the name. He was named Jesus, which means God saves. And then later, verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law had been completed, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So they come back. They come back to Jerusalem for Mary's purification and for Jesus to be presented. This was very often the way that was done for the firstborn child in a Jewish family. But what we need to recognize is what Luke is showing us of Mary and Joseph. That they were obedient to the law. They were devout. They were godly people doing what they thought God wanted them to do. So Mary and Joseph are headed towards the temple with Jesus, and then the focus changes to Simeon. Verse 25, you've got your Bible open there. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. And from what Simeon says about Lord now dismiss me, and about the fact that he wouldn't die before he saw the Messiah, it suggested he was an older man. But more importantly, look at verse 25. Now there was in Jerusalem a man called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here is a man of God. The Holy Spirit is working in his life. He was devout, he was godly, and he was waiting. He was waiting. Patiently. He'd been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Patiently. God had promised he would see the Messiah before he died, and he was waiting. And then on this day, when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, there was Simeon. Well, who would have thought it? What a coincidence. No, of course it's not. Verse 27. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child Jesus. God was at work. Jesus was brought into the temple. There was Simeon. No accident, no coincidence. God at work. God had promised him he would see the Messiah, and God was working to make sure he was there at the right time. And the purpose is not just so that Simeon could see the baby. The purpose is that centuries later, you and I, sitting here in this slightly drafty church this morning, could hear the testimony of Simeon as to who this person Jesus is. And that's what we want to see as we go through this passage this morning. If we've got our glasses on, our hearts open, that is what we see. And then verse 28, Simeon took him, that is Jesus, in his arms and praised God, saying. Simeon took Jesus. And then what Simeon says tells us what Simeon sees. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever seen one of those drawings? Apologies to those of you looking online. You may not see it. But where there are, in a sense, two pictures in one. You can see the old lady or you can see the young servant. Perhaps you can, perhaps you can't. Most people in Jerusalem that day saw a couple with a baby. Not unusual. Simeon saw something very, very different. And so at last we focus on Simeon's words. And in these verses, Simeon says something about God, the Father, something about Jesus, and then he speaks to Mary and Joseph. I'm going to read again these words which are known in the Church of England where we use the evening prayer under the title Nunc Dimittis, now dismiss. Again, look at it with me if you would. Verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. In these words, Simeon speaks about the Father, about God the Father. And there are two main things that Simeon says about God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. The two things are there. He calls him Sovereign Lord and refers to what he has promised. He's saying God is sovereign and God is faithful. Simeon acknowledges the sovereignty of God. He acknowledges it in those words, now dismiss your servant. My times are in your hands, God. If this is the end of my time because I've seen what you've promised, well, so be it. But he's also recognizing the faithfulness of God. In verse 25, it says, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Where the consolation means the restoration of God's people under God's rule. In other words, he was trusting to the faithfulness of the covenant God. The covenant God who'd made his covenant with his people. That they would be God's people in God's place under God's rule and with God's presence. And he'd been waiting for the sign that this would happen. And now he sees that sign. The sovereign God had proved faithful. His long wait in faith and trust had been fulfilled. And so he says, now let your servant depart in peace. Why? Had all his dreams been fulfilled? Had he completed his bucket list? Had he done the 20 sites you must see before you can no longer get travel insurance? No. He'd been waiting, faithfully waiting for the coming of the promised Messiah, the Christ. And now in this scrap of humanity that he held in his old arms, he saw the Christ. Just really struck me at 9:30, that image, that here is this elderly man holding this baby, and he sees in this baby so much of God's promises and God's salvation purposes and plan. I just think if I could just see a scrap of that over this Christmas for my own self, it would be amazing. He praises the faithful, sovereign God. Now, I don't know what else was going on in Simeon's life at this time. He was old. And as the younger friends here will recognize, old people tend to moan a lot. Well, Simeon may have had all things that he could have moaned about. But at that moment in time, nothing else mattered because of the surpassing wonder of seeing the Messiah. Let me say that again. At that moment in time, nothing else mattered because of the surpassing wonder of seeing the promised Messiah. How are things with you? How are things with you? Who's still at school or at college or at university? How are things going? How are you feeling about education, about your friends, your family? Those of us who are in paid work, how are things with your boss? How are things with your job prospects, your pay, your working conditions? Those of us who are older, how are you feeling about your health, your family, your future? As we come this morning, all of us will have on our minds different things, different concerns. Things that we can bring to God in prayer. Because God cares about those things and they matter to God. And yet, God's desire for all of us is that we see them in the light of the surpassing wonder of seeing Jesus as our Savior. We see our whole lives, the cares, the concerns, the hopes, the ambitions, in the light of the surpassing wonder of knowing Jesus as Savior. God's promise to us who follow the Lord Jesus is that one day we will be with him in eternity. All the tears, all the frustrations, all the pains of life laid aside. And we will see and know Jesus through all eternity. Simeon waited a long, long time for that day. He never lost hope. He waited patiently. And friends, we in our own day, we wait for that return of Jesus, that day when we'll be with him for all eternity. And may we not lose hope. May we continue faithfully waiting for that day. Simeon spoke about God the Father. And then Simeon spoke about Jesus. Whoa, I don't know what I've done there. Sorry, I've just managed to send us all the way back. Yeah, there we are. Simeon spoke about Jesus. He looked at the baby, and with his aged eyes, he saw. And what was it that Simeon saw? Well, firstly, he saw God's rescuer. Again, look at verse 30. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. There in his arms was God's instrument of salvation, this scrap of humanity. I don't know about you, but sometimes you look at some children and it's a bit scary. It's not very nice. But Simeon looked at Jesus and he saw something that thrilled his heart, something that satisfied his heart, that brought everything to completion. He saw God's rescuer. He saw the Messiah. And as such, Simeon stands at the head of a long line of people who down the centuries have been able to see in Jesus God's rescuer, the one who came to redeem his people. And secondly, he saw the scope of God's salvation. Again, verse 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Back in verse 10 of chapter 2, we read how the angels had spoken about good news of great joy for all people. And here now, Simeon sees that God's salvation is for all people. Yes, it is verse 32, for the glory of your people Israel, but it's also a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Salvation for all nations. That is what God has sent in this scrap of humanity that Simeon was holding in his arms. He saw the baby, but more, he saw God's salvation for the whole world. And friends, this phrase, "For mine eyes have seen your salvation," it's key. It's key to Christmas, but it's also key to life. No pair of glasses is going to help us see it. No pair of glasses can help us understand who Jesus is. It's only by the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that our eyes can be opened to see Jesus as the Saviour. So friends, how is your sight? How is your sight? Can you see Jesus as God come to earth to be our Saviour? I understand that in Edinburgh, there's a statue to Sir James Young Simpson. Now, he was Queen Victoria's favourite doctor. He was a man who discovered chloroform. But once, when he was asked by a journalist what his greatest discovery was, he replied, "That I am a sinner and that Jesus is a great saviour." That I am a sinner and Jesus is a great saviour. And perhaps you bear the same testimony as you think about your own life. What is it, the greatest thing that you've found, discovered, understood, seen? You may have seen in your life many, many wonderful things across the world. But the greatest thing to know, to understand, to see, is that I'm a sinner and Jesus is a great saviour. For Simeon, his life's goal was to see the Saviour. And having seen Jesus as Saviour, he was content to draw his life to an end. Now friends, if you're here or if you're watching online and you haven't yet seen Jesus as Saviour, then please let me encourage you. Sign up for our Christianity Explored course that will start in the new year. Ask your questions. Listen to God's word, and we trust that, as for Simeon, God, through his Holy Spirit, will open your eyes to see Jesus, Saviour of the world. Simeon spoke about God the Father. He spoke of Jesus as Saviour for all people. And then he spoke to Mary. At the end of the passage, he turns his eyes from Jesus to Mary and Joseph, and he blessed them. And then he speaks to Mary words of warning. Again, you've got the Bible there, verse 34. Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So there's a positive there. He'll be there for the rising of many. That is, many will come to faith through him. But did you see the words of warning? Words of warning. That many would speak against him. And the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. That is, many people will refuse to accept who Jesus is. He came to his own, but his own rejected him. And that is what has happened. And that's what still happens. Jesus is still divisive. Spoke earlier about my own brothers. For me and them, Jesus is a division between us. And you may find that in your own family. In his own day, many spoke against Jesus. And those last words to Mary, that a sword will pierce your own soul too, became so true. Because Mary watched how Jesus was rejected, how Jesus was despised, and she stood and watched her own son put to death on a cross. Simeon saw not just the faithfulness of the sovereign God, not just the nature of this child as a saviour for all people. He saw the human cost for his mother, who would watch her son's trials, tribulations, and his death. For Mary, there was the joy of having the baby. There was perhaps the surprise of hearing how Simeon describes, but she knew the nature of her child. And yet, there was the cost, the pain. And friends, that is also true for us. Because yes, it is a joy to know Jesus as Saviour and Lord, but there is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus, of being associated with Jesus. And we need to recognize that. But as I close, let me repeat the question which I began with. How's your eyesight? Can you see what Simeon saw? Can you see Jesus as God? Jesus who came to be the Saviour of all people? Then if not, please, do keep looking, but please come to that Christianity Explained course. Keep asking God to open your eyes. But if we can, and if we know that Jesus is our Saviour of Lord, if we've been following Jesus for years and years and years, then continue to trust the sovereign faithfulness of our God. And continue to wait patiently for that day when Christ will return, with hope and with faith, waiting for that day when that salvation will finally be complete and we are with Christ for all eternity. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the working of your Holy Spirit, who opens hearts and minds and eyes to see and know Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And Father, if there are any here this morning or watching online who do not yet know, I want to pray that you would graciously open their hearts and their eyes. But for those of us who have seen, who can say, my eyes have seen your salvation, Father, thrill us again this Christmas time with the wonder of Christ, God become man and dwelling among us. And this we ask for his name's sake. Amen.